This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Edith Hill, good afternoon.
Hi, Warren. How's it going?
It's good to chat with you again. Firstly, let's talk about someone who was cancelled. Why were they cancelled?
Okay, so we are talking about Colleen Ballinger. Colleen is a YouTuber who is famous for playing her, or infamous, character Miranda Sings.
And what does this character do?
So Miranda Sings is kind of a parody character. I think it really originated as someone who thinks they're good at singing but can't sing. That's the basic premise. However, a lot of people take issue with that character and how she behaves in her live shows. So Colleen takes this character on tour and does multiple shows around the United States, but also has her on her YouTube channel and really plays up this character of Miranda and really talks as if Miranda is separate from herself, Colleen. But she was cancelled roughly around 6 months ago.
And when we say cancelled, what happened to her?
It's a really interesting word, cancelled. Really, when people use it nowadays, no one is actually being cancelled. It's usually a mass of people coming out say something against you or saying that you've done the wrong thing and therefore shouldn't have a platform anymore. But Colleen has really shown, as many people have who have been quote-unquote cancelled, that it's not really a permanent thing and, you know, returning to the internet is definitely possible for a lot of people. Whether they should or not is a completely other question because of the allegations against her. Some are a bit silly and some are really quite serious.
What was the specific thing that Colleen did that resulted in her being cancelled? Like, if people are unhappy with the show because they don't like the character, that's okay, but she must have done something that really triggered this cancellation.
Yeah, there are quite a few things that kind of cropped up over the years, and then everything really came to a point about 6 months ago. Some of the main things were having inappropriate interactions with her fans, some of which were quite young people. She had a group chat with her fans that sometimes seemed quite harmless, but at other times was quite inappropriate of a sexual nature. I'll kind of leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Other things involved being quite a bad friend. I guess that feels like a very light way to say it, but she was friends and co-workers as well with another content creator called Trisha Paytas. Trisha is very infamous online, notoriously so, and is also a sex worker separate to her content creation on YouTube. And Colleen had taken some of her explicit photos and shared them in a group chat making fun of her and her body, which is completely disgusting behaviour. Mm-hmm. And then this kind of came out as well, that she was, one, sharing sexually explicit photos of somebody else, but then shaming her and her body because Trisha is a plus-sized woman.
These are quite significant things and, we don't want these things to happen. But if this shows that someone can be cancelled but not really, what happens then? Because effectively, they just go away for a few months and think, it doesn't matter, my behaviour, I can do whatever I want because I'm coming back. And therefore, I suppose, where is that accountability?
That's a really good question, and one that I have kind of been asking for a really long time is, where is the accountability for people who do these things? A lot of very famous people have been cancelled and returned to YouTube, like Shane Dawson is an example. He was cancelled for some very serious accusations, but then has returned and is seemingly quite successful since then. And I think the same is probably going to happen with Colleen. She has returned and, I want to say, apologised, even though it's not really an apology. It's a very well-scripted, lawyer-esque letter that I know a lot of PR people have looked over.
So inauthentic.
And just talked about, I think it's also just very protective in its language because a lot of these people will not admit to wrongdoing. It's more, I'm sorry that I've disappointed my fans, or I'm sorry that I had to go away for a while, and they don't really kind of talk about why these things happened. Mm. And I understand why they don't, because they would, you know, seriously implicate themselves if they did. But it is very frustrating as someone who knows the full story and seeing someone return to quite a potentially lucrative career with no real accountability.
I agree. I reckon we need another method other than cancel culture for accountability.
I think so too. And cancel culture has got this really negative connotation to it, where people say, oh, you know, cancel culture is doing this, this and this, and it's so negative. And it really needs to be holding people fairly and justly accountable for their actions. You know, is the same having someone get cancelled for something they tweeted 20 years ago, Twitter wasn't around then, for say 10 years ago, something you tweeted, is that on the same level to having like countless allegations come out against you from your very young fans? You know, how do we measure these things? It's a very difficult conversation, but the crux of it is Colleen is back, and I'm very curious to see what happens to her in terms of her views. Is she going to have the same audience she had before? Is her character Miranda returning? Will the live shows continue? It's going to be a very watch this space kind of thing. I'm curious to see what happens next.
Well, keep us posted on what's happening. We're chatting with Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer of Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about the latest in the world of social media. Edith, I love food reviewers, but something that I struggle with is everyone's a food reviewer these days, but you've found someone who is like a super food reviewer. Tell us about that.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, I love food reviewers, but if I'm going to watch someone and listen to their reviews on food, I want to know that they're being honest and that they are not being swayed by being paid by someone to give a better review to the food. You know what is awful? Eating a burger and then it being crap, and you are so hungry and you are looking forward to dinner and you have paid someone $30 for a meal and it's garbage. I don't want that to ever happen to me. And I think a lot of people feel the same. And so this man that we are talking about is Keith Lee. He is an American who makes food reviews and is known for his very authentic reviews, his deadpan delivery of his food reviews, and the way he is able to fully change a restaurant's life and trajectory based on what he's been doing.
Wow. So he can go into any restaurant, write a review, and the future of that restaurant is determined by the type of review he writes.
100%. He is that famous right now. So he has 15 million followers on TikTok, which is a lot. But when we talk about amounts of followers, it's also important to think about the interaction and the engagement with those followers.
Right.
You could have a million followers, right? But if your interaction percentage or your engagement is like 1%, that's a very low amount of people who are actually commenting, clicking on your links, going to your website, buying your stuff, right? But some people like Keith have incredibly high audience engagement, and they are actively reaching huge amounts of people. So what's happened recently is Keith and his family have gone on a trip to Atlanta, and he's been doing food reviews in like a different area from where he typically does them. And he's changing restaurants. People were dead, you know, 1 to 2 tables for the entire day are now having to say, look, we actually can't keep up with this amount of service, so we need to close and recoup because we don't have the staff to maintain the level of people that are coming in to get our food.
How does Keith maintain his independence in terms of those reviews? Because I would imagine that restaurants are willing to pay him a lot of money for him to do a good review.
Oh, hell yeah. So he has talked about this quite openly, which I really appreciate, in that he doesn't get paid to do these reviews and he refuses to get the food for free. So he pays for the food with his own money. In the beginning, he would go into a restaurant and just order and then rate on the food, the customer service, the experience, all of that. And then at the end would say, you know, the food's good, the service was good, so it must be the marketing. So this is me trying to fix that for them and give them some good marketing to kind of, you know, align with the experience that I've gotten going to this place. But now he is so famous that he can't just walk in to an establishment because people know who he is, and he thinks that he'll get different service, which was recently proven to be correct, because he will send in his family or his wife or mother-in-law to go in and order the food on behalf of his family, and then he'll do the review like in his car. However, he was told in Atlanta, you know, it's going to be an hour and a half wait for this food. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to go in and see if it's any different. And magically is seated in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's the restaurant going now?
Well, the thing is, he decided that wasn't fair treatment and decided to leave. So it's really interesting because some people are saying, like, you know, this is sending a bad message towards the restaurant. People are then going to send angry comments to them. I think that is exactly what's happened, is people were very frustrated that they were serving one person different to somebody else. And I think this is something that people like Keith would probably struggle with, is that balance of trying to be authentic, wanting to be treated like a regular person so you can accurately reflect the customer service that a regular person would get, but also being able to do these reviews is very difficult as soon as that platform gets really big. How do you actually keep that anonymity? Like, it's really not very possible.
Edith, do you know, I'm going to get now a burger on the way home because I've been told by a fellow broadcaster here that there's this burger place, which is on the way home, that is the best in Melbourne. So I'm going to go with that review and get a burger on the way home. You put it in my head. I can't get it out of it now.
You know what? I'm not even going to apologise because you're going to have a great time and you're going to say, you know what? This was the right choice for me. I am happy, I am full, I am fed and I am thankful. So you're welcome.
We're chatting with Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation from Flinders University, about the latest in the world of social media. Edith, one thing that I really hated with pop music was the introduction of auto-tune. I reckon I can hear it a mile away. Now, this is being dealt with on social media as well. Tell us about this.
I'm right there with you, by the way. I think when auto-tune first started coming in and as soon as people started overusing it, it was like a cheese grater on my brain. Like, you can hear it so clearly in certain songs, and it's just, it's not, it doesn't hit right with me, put it that way. And we are not alone in this feeling. So there are quite a few people on TikTok who sing. I think that is a fairly understandable thing. You know, there's a social media platform, people are going to sing, show off their talents, try to make it big, share their voice with the world, what have you. However, there are a few people who do, like, well, they say it's an acoustic kind of version of a song, they're doing it in a parking garage or a bathroom or somewhere that has really good acoustics, and are saying that this is just their natural, pure voice as it is. But a lot of people have come out and said, like, you know what, we're a little bit sick of you claiming this is your voice when it's clearly auto-tune. And so what people have done is they've started memeing these singers.
Oh, wow. And pointing it out. And what's the impact on the singers? Have they confessed that they are using auto-tune?
Not that I've seen, to be honest, which is quite funny in a sense, because it's really bringing more traffic to these people who I think are, you know, good singers, but it's the claim of something that's untrue that I think people have a problem with. So what people are doing is there are a few songs that go around every now and then that's like the song that you're singing in these videos. And so people make meme videos making fun of the singers, not anyone in particular, but more of the group of them as a whole, and will mimic their facial expressions, their body language, you know, the bent over, like you're really belting it out, emotionally singing. But in these videos, they use a wild amount of auto-tune to kind of call attention to the fact that it's, you know, it's pretty obvious what you guys are doing. And it's just, you know, it's a little bit of fun. I like watching that.
I love it. But it would grate on my brain, just like you said.
Yes. I think when it's done on purpose, like it's to make a point that it's so bad that that's what makes it funny, I'm okay with that. But when it's someone claiming that it's their pure, you know, pure singing voice, and then it's clearly got that auto-tune tinge to it, that is when I have a problem.
I agree. It comes down to inauthenticity again.
It all comes back to the authentic voice online, doesn't it?
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.